So continue into the month of Iyar. Last week we discussed how Iyar is a period of growth. You know, it's day by day, step by step development and growth into maturity. And I want to develop that idea a little bit more from a little different perspective. Because again, Iyar is still, this is the month of Sfiras Omer. Iyar is the only month that's totally enveloped in Sfiras Omer. Sfiras Omer really defines the month. And we said last week how the Sfiras Omer is counting from the Omer Karban to the Shtei Lechem. We learned last week the Barbanel, I believe, was said that Omer is animal food. Omer is barley. Very famous thought. The Shtei Lechem is wheat. That's human food. The Omer is matzah. Shtei Lechem is chametz. And it was a transition of going from animal to human being. So last week we said how it's an idea of maturity, that we're developing from being animalistic, kind of like, you know, immature kids to adults. But there's more to it. Because the essence of the day is they're supposed to get ready for Matan Torah. This whole period of the year is trying to train us. You're going from Pesach, from being Avad Mitzrayim, to being Hashem's nation that will receive the Torah Har Sinai. How do you do that? How do you get ready? I mean, that's quite a transition. It's a major accomplishment to be worthy of receiving the Torah. How do you get there? And the answer is, whatever we do during Sfiras Omer, that's the answer. This seven-week period is supposed to get us ready for Matan Torah and take us out of a slave mentality and being a slave nation. So what makes us fit? What's the primary preparation we need to get ready to receive the Torah? And that's the question I want to address tonight. So I think, you know, one very important answer to this question is the famous concept of Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah. We've all heard that phrase before. Derech Eretz, proper midos, you know, acting like a mensch, acting in appropriate ways. That's kind of a prerequisite for Torah. It precedes it. Kadmah precedes Torah. And it's really, we need that to receive the Torah. Without Derech Eretz, then we're not worthy of receiving the Torah. You find it in the Chumash itself. The whole book of Bereishis, so Rishonim have the question. They say, what's the purpose of Bereishis? In terms of halacha, there's very little there. There's only three mitzvahs in all of Bereishis. Rashi on Bereishis Aleph Aleph, the very first pasuk in the Chumash, says we could have started the Torah at HaChodesh Zelachem, Parshas Bo, because everything until then is just stories. There's not really any substantial halacha or mitzvahs until that point. So what's the idea of Sefer Bereishis? So Rashi has his answer. But many of Farshim explain that Bereishis is the book of the Torah that teaches you Derech Eretz. You're looking at the stories of the Avos and the Imahos, and you're learning how do we act. What's proper midos? What is chesed? What is gvura? What is emes? What's tiferes? What are these midos that we discuss? How does one actually live life with good midos? How do you react to situations that are difficult? How do you deal with human beings? How do you deal with challenges? What do you do? So Bereishis really trains us that before we get to Sefer Shmos, which really is the Kabbalah Satorah, Sefer Shmos is where we're preparing ourselves to leave Mitzrayim and go to Har Sinai and receive the Torah. We have to learn Bereishis. We have to learn Bereishis really well to develop our midos. That's what Bereishis is for. So Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah is the concept of Benam L'Chaveiro, that we should be developing in our relationships, developing in our midos to become the people we should be. The depth of this statement is really the following. You know, we always say, be a mensch, right? We should be a mensch. You know, mensch means a human being, a man, a human being. That's what mensch means. And the idea is that Hashem wants to give the Torah to human beings. Hashem doesn't give the Torah to animals. Hashem doesn't give the Torah. Hashem gives the Torah to human beings. The Torah is meant for human beings, and meant for human beings who are living like human beings. How do you live like a human being? That means that you're somebody who is an Adam. An Adam is worthy of Hashras HaShechina. An Adam is worthy of reaching out to Hashem. And you can only get to that point by developing your character. If you're acting like an animal, then you're not ready to be an Adam. If we act like a human being, if we act like a mensch, again, the Yiddish terms often carry them a lot of truth. If we act like a mensch, that means that we are human beings, that we're ready to receive Hashem's Torah. The whole idea of an Adam, the human being, Hashem made Adam in a unique way. We're not just, you know, fancy, complex animals. Many scientists will tell you that, you know, human being is just a very, very complex, developed animal form. We'd say, no, human being is totally different than animal life. Human being has the ability to reach out to Hashem. We can become spiritual, we can reach out to God. The word Adam has many meanings. One concept of Adam is Adameh. I will emulate. I will compare. Because that means a human being has the ability to emulate God. Animals can't do that. No animal can emulate God. Only human being can do that. Adameh. So when Hashem wants us to receive the Torah, Hashem needs the proper platform upon which to give the Torah. He needs to have a human being that's prepared for Hashras HaShchina, that can receive Hashem's Shchina, that can receive the Kedusha, and that's prepared to receive this tremendous gift called Hashem's Torah. That's what we need to be. So the way we get there is through developing midos. Hashem doesn't want animals, He wants people. Animals follow their instincts. They care for themselves. Even if they care for their children, that's because it's just part of their instincts. Now, for survival, they know they need to have kids to survive as well. Survival of the fittest. They want to reproduce. They want to carry on their species. But they have no real sense of care and concern for others. They totally follow their instincts. There's not really any sensitivity or emotion. There's no ability in an animal to hold back and not get angry. Animals don't make those. Animals just follow their instincts and do what they're supposed to do. Somebody who is not an Adam, not a mensch, with midos, that person is just totally following instincts. You know, they're hungry, they eat. They're angry, they scream. You know, they're upset, they yell. You know, it's me, 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 all about myself, my needs, what I want. That's what animals do. Midos allow us to be able to be in control, to understand when's the time to express myself, when should I hold back. Where is anger appropriate, where is anger not appropriate. When's the time to eat? When's the time not to eat? Now, when we're able to actually have self-control and speak to people in a sensitive, proper way, and that's the human being. Animals can't do that. Animals don't have that ability. We know there's a very famous pasuk in Rashi, right at Har Sinai. The Klal Yisrael, they leave Mitzrayim, they're in the Midbar for about 6 weeks, they approach Har Sinai, and you have the famous concept, V'yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. Klal Yisrael camps opposite the mountain. And Rashi tells us a very famous quote. Rashi says, what does it mean? They camped at Har Sinai like one man with one heart. Klal Yisrael, total unity. Total achdus. That's how everybody got along. Everybody cared and was sensitive to one another. We spoke to each other nicely. We helped each other out. It was total, beautiful unity. That's what it was. The word Vayichan, where it comes from in the Pasuk, Vayichan Sham is a singular lashon. It's not in plural. Vayichan is Klal Yisrael camped there as an individual, one unified nation. Since that point, it's rarely happened in that way. But at least in our Sinai, we had that unity which was there, which allowed us to receive the Torah. That's the prerequisite. Without that, we couldn't have received the Torah. Hashem wants Klal Yisrael to be one nation of achdus, at peace with one another to receive the Torah. Without that, we wouldn't have received the Torah. The second compulsory Torah we had was on Purim. We know on Purim there's a concept. The Gemara tells us, Kimu v'kiblu, the Klal Yisrael, they re-accepted the Torah. At Har Sinai, it was done kind of under duress. On Purim, we recommitted out of love for Hashem. That's the Gemara says. And we know in the Purim story as well, after the Nes occurred, there's also total achdus. Same concept. On Purim, we give Amatan Slav Yonim, Shalch Manis, to create this achdus, to create this love. And Klal Yisrael was all bonded together as one with love and care and sensitivity on Purim, and that enabled the second Kabbalah Torah. But every time there's a Kabbalah Satorah, there has to be unity. So every year when Shavuos rolls around, Hashem comes again to offer us the Torah every single year. We always relive the events. And the events of Shavuos are Kabbalah Satorah. So how do we get ready for that? Well, if the Jews the first time around, they could only receive the Torah through Achdus, we have to have that as well. And that's very significant in this time of year, is to be working on our Midos, working on our interpersonal relationships, working on how we reach out to fellow Jews so that we create that achdus. It's very, very significant. So Sfiras HaOmer, classically, is the time we focus on tikkun amidos. It's a time to focus on trying to repair and perfect our character traits. The Arizal was famous for breaking every single day down into different amidos. If you look at your article sitter, every single day of the Omer has a little note next to it. Today's Chesed, Sheba Chesed, Chesed Sheba Gura, Chesed Sheba Tiferes, Chesed Sheba Yisod. They're all the whole list of midos. And on one level, he's referring to some fancy Kabbalistic idea. But on a very basic level, every single one of those midos is really a shoresh in ourselves, a root in ourselves of how we act. There are many, many Sfarim out there. There are articles online about it as well, where you can see how every single day relates to different midos in a person. You know, so if you look at your sitter, when it tells you today is the day of, you know, splendor and strength, so it doesn't mean that much to us. But if you look at the Sfarim, or you think about it a little bit, what does it mean to have splendor and strength, or kindness and, you know, in beauty, or whatever the midos might be. So each one of those is some factor within ourselves that actually determines how we act. And if we could focus on that, then we can actually grow a midos every single day of the Omer. So that's an idea that's brought down from the Arizal. Again, at first it sounds kind of like mystical heebie-jeebie type stuff. But ultimately, every single one of these midos is a shorish in the person that helps us develop our characteristics. And really the ability to break down our midos and define what actually triggers them is very important and we're trying to grow in our midos. So if we know that, and let's take a simple example. I mean, some of them are more complex, but there's a concept of there's gvura shebechesed, right? There's a strength in kindness. So kindness we know means I give, I help. Gvura always indicates holding back, refraining. That's gvura. So sometimes chesed will dictate that you should hold back. Maybe the person needs to learn how to get by on their own. And you feel so much rachmanis, you want to help them, but you know if you help them too much, they're going to become dependent. So you have to hold back, have gvura, just to perform the chesed. So that's gvura shebechesed. So it's the ability to understand our midos, understand chesed is a positive thing, but at times chesed, which is untamed, is also not good for the person. The person receiving the chesed will not grow from it because they need to have some chance to be independent. So gvura shebechesed will tell me, okay, hold myself back, even though I really want to help, so this person can then learn to be independent. So that's one concept. These concepts, every single day has its mix. I'm not sure what today is. I'm looking at a sitter. But every day has its mix of midos. And those midos are there to help us develop our character and our midos. So we should analyze the midos day by day. And we should grow. Thank you. We can see today is, if you have a...
one larger one?
That's fine. Baruch Hashem, my eyes are still okay. So last night we counted 27. So 27 is the Yesod Shebenetzach. So that one actually is a little bit, I don't have a full grasp on that one, Yesod Shebenetzach. But Netzach usually indicates something which is continuous, ongoing, overpowering. Yesod very often indicates, Yesod little means foundation, it indicates the level of purity. So, I mean, I don't have an example for this one offhand, but there's always...
List. You don't have this one.
Oh, you have a list. Look at that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a book out of it.
Okay, so perfect. That's what we're talking about. It should be the same combination for the day. That was 2 days ago. Yesodim, that's a bonding in endurance. Bonding is an essential quality of endurance. It expresses your unwavering commitment to the person or experience with which you are bonding. A commitment is so powerful that you will endure all to preserve it. Endurance without bonding will not endure. So this is describing the idea of learning how to bond in a way which is unwavering. So again, in commitment, let's take in commitment to a friend or to a family member. Sometimes that bond has to be made very solid so that even when things might be rough or might be unstable or might be uncomfortable, you still remain connected. That's a very important trait in Benamon Chavero, because if we have friends and family to maintain those relationships, we have to make sure they're consistent. So that's a good example. Every day has its way we break down midos and understand them. So that's a major avoda of this time of year. And again, this is the concept we're developing the Adam. We're trying to reach Shavuos where we eat the Shtei Lechem. The Shtei Lechem, again, is wheat bread, the staple of human life, because we're showing that we've developed from being animalistic slaves to human beings. So when there's Achdus, Hashem gives the Torah, He brings down the Shekhinah on top of Klal Yisrael. And the goal here on a deeper level is that Hashem's desire is to give the Torah to human beings, but beyond that, Hashem gives the Torah to a nation. And we can't be a nation if there's fighting. If we're constantly at each other's throats, and we have divisions, and we don't respect each other, and we don't love each other, then we're not really a nation. We're not really a nation that's one. I mean, maybe by label we are, but in terms of the way we act, we're not. If we got along with each other, and care for, either we have our differences. Every single Jew might have their differences. We learned how to get along and create that achdus. That's the nation, that's Klal Yisrael. And at that point, Hashem will give a Torah. There are many, many individuals in history that were great tzaddikim before Avraham Avinu. You had Shem, you had Noach, you had Chanoch. There are people out there, Mesushalach, who are known to be tzaddikim. But Hashem didn't give them a Torah. And one reason why is because they didn't develop a nation. They were yechidim, individuals, and Hashem says individuals are wonderful. And I'll give them plenty of reward, and I care for them, and I love them, but you're not a nation. Avraham, the Chiddush of Avraham Avinu was that he was able to found a nation. Through Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov came Klal Yisrael. And then that made a platform that Hashem can now give a Torah. So we have to maintain that nation. If the nation is splintered and fighting, then that nation is kind of lost. If the nation stays together, that's the proper platform upon which we can receive the Torah. The very last quote of all of the Mishnah in Maseches Uktzin, it says, the Hashem searched, and Lo Matzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Balamo Kli Machzik Bracha Ela Shalom. Hashem could only find the only vessel Hashem could find to contain bracha is shalom, is peace. Without peace, there's no bracha. And simply, when I take the image, you know, the idea of peace is that you have something complete. That all the pieces kind of bond together. If there's no peace and things splinter, it's like you have a hole in your bowl. Everything just falls right out. Peace still makes us become one nation. Therefore, we can contain the bracha of Hashem. Without that peace, we lose it. So this is the vision of Sfirsa Omer. We know that we count 49 days. And there's a famous idea that 49 is gematria lev tov, a good heart. Because we're developing during this time a lev tov, a good heart. And the gematria of lev is 32. Lag ba'omer kind of begins the tov part. So that's the third, that's the last part of this time of year is lag ba'omer onwards, which is tov, lev tov, which is the good part. So we're developing our hearts. And hearts, even in modern day, you know, English thought, means care. He has a big heart, he has a good heart. The same concept you find in the Torah and in Chazal, you find also in modern day speech. This person has a very big heart. Because we're developing the way that we reach out to others, we're sensitive to others. And the heart is what contains the Torah. It's that human being with the heart, the loving, sensitive, caring heart that thinks about others. That's the greatest vessel for Hashem's bracha. That creates peace, and that's Mekabel the Torah. Chassidus Sfarim point out that the very last letter of the Torah is a lamed, lenei kol Yisrael, and the first letter is beis, a brachus, makes lev, the heart. So really the whole Torah is contained inside the word lev, in heart. The whole Torah is inside the heart. That's what it is. The beis of brachus and the lamed of lenei kol Yisrael, that contains the entire human being. The entire Torah. So this is our vision right now. Now, there's one twist to this, which we have to understand. You know, Sfirsa Omer technically should be a very, very joyous period of the year. It was designated as a time of anticipation, of excitement. We're about to receive the Torah Har Sinai. We can't wait. We're getting ready. We're prepared. We're ready to go. That's what it was created for. However, the concept of mourning crept into Sfirsa Omer. Nowadays, we hear the word Tzvira, so we think about, okay, we can't have weddings, and we listen to music. We think about these ideas of mourning. And really, the concept of mourning should not be during this time of year. This is a much later minhag. There are some references maybe in the Gemara, came even after that when the minhag began. But it took this period, which should be so joyous and exciting, and we have this aura of avelus, which kind of darkens the entire period. And the question is, like, where does that come in? How does that relate? It should be a very joyous time. And we know that the main reason we mourn during this time is because of the death of Rabbi Kiva students. The Gemara tells us 24,000 students of Rabbi Kiva died during this time of year. 24,000 is an astounding number, but it's a huge number. I mean, we're used to 6 million, unfortunately, so 24,000 sounds like small. But 24,000, I can imagine, you know, I mean, we're talking about, these are the, Rabbi Kiva was the Gadol Hador. These are his Talmidim. We're talking about a yeshiva of 24,000 students. You know, the Mir in Yerushalayim has, I think, about 8,000 now, if anyone's ever seen the Mir. So, three times the Mir, and then in a period of, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, they all just drop dead. Like, the tragedy is immense. We don't relate to that tragedy so much, but it was an immense tragedy. And we're talking about the finest of Klal Yisrael. These are Rabbi Akiva students. Of all people, Rabbi Akiva, again, he was the Gadol Hador, Rabbi Akiva. These are his students. Rabbi Akiva is somebody that we look at throughout all of history as one of our greatest to ever walk the face of the earth. And 24,000 students of his all passed away during the same period. So that's why we mourn. But the question has to be, there's no coincidence here. The fact that this mourning is occurring during Sfirsa Omer, and the fact that Rabbi Akiva is the one who these students die, it has to somehow fit the period. Like, you know, Hashem could have had this plague occur any time of year. But the Gemara says specifically they died between Pesach and Shavuot. That's what the Gemara says. So how does this relate to this time of year? And really the answer is very simple. The answer is that the Gemara tells us. Why do they die? It says, Mipnei Shaluna Hagu Kavod Zebazeh. They didn't honor one another. So we're focused so much the time of year that if you want to receive the Torah, you have to develop v'nadam l'chavero. You have to be able to respect and care for other human beings, for fellow Jews. Develop achdus, develop love, sensitivity. And Rabbi Akiva's students, who are supposed to be the top Talmidim of the entire generation, the finest, the up-and-coming scholars of the next door, they represent the Torah. They're the ones who are held up as the role models. These are your role models. And the Gemara says they fell short in their Ben Amlach Avera. They fell short in honoring one another, and they didn't respect each other. So how can they be the ambassadors of Torah for the whole generation if they can't show each other respect? And Hashem felt it was such a terrible chait, he brought this terrible plague upon them. But the message for us is very, very clear. Hashem gave this plague, made this plague during this period as a message for all generations. And the message is, if you want to receive the Torah, you have to respect your fellow human being. That's the message. It's a very, very clear message. It's a very scary message based on what happened in those days. But Hashem felt that it was worthwhile to take the lives of 24,000 Talmid Chachamim, the great, great students, just to teach the world this message. That if you want to be somebody who's Mekabel Torah, you want to accept the Torah, you want to have Hashem's Shekhinah rest upon you, you have to be able to have good midos and respect each other. That's what happened in this time of year. Now I want to add in one more point, which is that Lag BaOmer is coming up this Motzei Shabbos. This Motzei Shabbos and Sunday is Lag BaOmer. And we know Lag BaOmer is a day where the mourning stops. The Talmidim stop dying. It's a day of celebration. It's also a strange day. There's not so many sources for Lag BaOmer, not early sources at least, of what it is, why on that day do we stop mourning. And I'm really aware of three different reasons why it's a joyous day. One reason is relating to Rabbi Akiva's students, that on that day nobody died. It's unclear if the entire plague stopped or if they took a hiatus from the plague, but that day nobody died. So that's a joyous day. The Chasam Sofer has an interesting calculation he makes, that the day the Mon began to fall in the Midbar was Lag BaOmer. I mean, the Jews left from Mitzrayim on Pesach. They actually ate the matzah for 30 days after that. They left with matzah, we know that part. So that matzah lasted 30 days. So 30 days from Pesach takes you to about the 15th of Iyar. Now 3 days passed, they had no food to eat. And then 3 days later, the 18th is Lag BaOmer. So the Chasam Sofer says that the Mon began to fall in BaOmer, and that's part of the celebration. But I guess the more prominent reason we celebrate Lag BaOmer, when you go outside and you see, an Eretz Yisrael, especially Eretz Yisrael, you look on Lag BaOmer, fires everywhere. Right? The Meron in particular, where the Kever of Shem Bar Yochai is, but in Eretz, if you've been in Eretz Yisrael on Lag BaOmer, you just look out your window and you see bonfires over the place. In America, it's not quite as common. We have one at the yeshiva, some shuls will have, different communities have bonfires. But the main excitement of Lag BaOmer, it seems, is marking the yortzeit of Hashem Bar Yochai. Now, we don't make such a celebration for anyone else's yortzeit, to my knowledge. Moshe Rabbeinu's yortzeit, if anything, the Chevra Kadisha has a minute to make some sort of dinner on that day, or meal, or something. Usually yortzeit we look at as like somewhat of a sad day, or it's kind of a bittersweet day. You celebrate the person's life accomplishments, but you also miss the person. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's yortzeit, suddenly we make this tremendous celebration. I mean, most famously in Meron, at his kever in Meron, you have tens of thousands of Jews gathered together, partying and singing and dancing and eating. I mean, it's a holiday. And the question is, why are we celebrating Rav Shimon's yortzeit in such a way? Why of all people does his yortzeit get this special celebration? And how does it relate to this period of the year? I mean, everything has to relate. So I want to understand a little bit about Mishim Bar Yochai, and why is the Lag BaOmer so significant and such a happy day of celebration, and how does it fit our concept we're talking about of midos and respecting our fellow Jew? Let's try to figure that one out. Mishim Bar Yochai, I don't want to go through the whole story right now, but he is somebody who was one of our greatest Tanayim. He's quoted in the Mishnah all the time. And Mishim Bar Yochai is actually a student of Rabbi Akiva. After Rabbi Akiva lost his 24,000 students, he decided to pick himself up and rebuild. So it says he went south, and he found 5 students to teach. Now, as an aside, it's a matter of Rabbi Akiva. He had an academy of 24,000 students. They all died. Most human beings at that point would say, forget about it, I'm done. Obviously, Hashem is like what I'm doing. I put in so much effort, so much work, and it's all gone. I'm sure he was a broken man at that point. But he said, no, I have to move on. He pushed himself. He regained his composure. He went down south. He found 5 students, and he began again with 5 students.
What does south mean?
South.
What?
Where? Oh, where? South? I'm not sure. This is when south. I don't know where he went.
Okay.
It's a good question. I'm not sure why that's an important fact. That's what the Gemara says. But he found five students from 24,000 to five. That's quite a difference. But he said, I have to teach Torah. That's what I'm here for. And his five students really became the foundation of the entire Mishnah. We're talking Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar. But these are people with very famous names. Rabbi Yehuda. And they're the ones that really carried on the Masorah and really the Mishnah. And all the Torah Shebaal Peh that we learn following that period comes through those students. It's an incredible thing. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is one of those students. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, though, is famous for something else. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is famous for being the author of the Zohar. You know, the Kabbalah that we have, the whole concept of Kabbalah really comes from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Meaning, to put it in a bigger context, I mean, we look at Kabbalah as one of the parts of the oral Torah, oral tradition, Torah Shebaal Peh, came down from Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, generation to generation. Rabbi Kiva also taught Kabbalah, but the one who actually wrote it down in a sefer was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. The Zohar was his sefer. And the concept of learning Kabbalah after that point came really through the Zohar and through Rabbi Shimon's writings. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is looked at as the father of Kabbalah, of mystical thought, of that area, the Torah Sod, that area of the Torah. Now, we're celebrating his Yortzeit. So I saw a very beautiful explanation of this in a sefer Emunah Sitecha of Moshe Wolfson Shlita. He writes a beautiful idea which really helps to bring all these points together. Now, there's a concept that the word Yisrael can be looked at as a Rosh Tevos for Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. So we know that there are 600,000 basic Jewish neshamas. That's the number that left Mitzrayim. Shishim Ribo, 600,000 number we use all the time. So even though there's more than 600,000 Jews, we look at there's 600,000, you know, core neshamos, and then every Jew gets, you know, some neshama related to those 600,000 original neshamos. That's how we view it. So at Har Sinai, technically, there are probably 3, 4, 5 million Jews standing there. But 600,000 is our base number. And that's really, that's the full gamut of neshamos of Klal Yisrael. And then every single Jew takes, you know, of those neshamos. That's how we look at it. So this concept of Yisrael, meaning Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah, means that just like there are 600,000 neshamos, there's also 600,000 letters in the Torah. Now, if you go count, that's not true. If you go count, you're not going to find that many. There's many, many cheshbonos made as to how where that number comes from. It could be you're counting, you know, every letter is composed of other letters, and there's different ways you can count it up. But the concept is real. There's a concept that every single Jew has their letter in the Torah. Every Jew. 600,000 Jews, 600,000 letters in the Torah. That's the concept. What does that mean for us? Every letter in the Torah is significant. Every letter has a meaning. Every letter is there deliberately, with a purpose, with a lesson, with Kedusha. Rabbi Akiva even with Darshan Tagin, the little crowns of the letters. He would learn from the crowns of the letters themselves. Every single dot in the Torah means something. Everything. So if it's not apparent on the surface, let's say you pick up certain parts of the Chumash, and you read them, and you're like, I don't see the significance of this. I don't understand why it's so special or so holy. I'm not sure why it's here. You know, you pick up the end of parts of Yishlach, and you read through the whole lineage of Esav's kings, and then you read about, you know, Esav's Mechutin's grandfather, and all these strange lineages. You know, I'm not sure what this is doing here. I'm not sure why it's so important. It's in the Torah. The Torah repeats twice all the details of the Mishkan. So the first time is enough for us, and then does it again. Like, why are there so many psukim in the Torah repeating about the Mishkan? It doesn't make sense to us. You look through other parts, you know, you go to end of Bar-Midbar, so it starts describing different wars of neighboring nations, not even Klal Yisrael's wars. A lot of places in the Torah you look at and you say, I don't really understand what's doing there. I'm not sure what it means. So if it's not apparent on the surface, we know, hopefully we've learned at this point in our lives, that the Torah has a lot of deeper meanings. And if on the surface I don't understand why it's there, so there's always a pshat. We know the Torah has many, many layers of understanding. There's a concept of Shivim Panim LaTorah. The Torah has 70 different ways to look at it. There's a concept of Pardes, that every single part of the Torah has four different layers. Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. Simple level, you have the halachic, you know, drushes we make, we have Ramazim, hints and allusions, then you have Kabbalah, you have the mystical part of it. So every single part of the Torah has its many, many layers and many, many levels of understanding. So if you get that part of the Torah and you say, I don't get this part. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why it's here. It's boring. It's tedious. So we tell ourselves, should be that it must be that it has a lot of meaning, Alpi Sod, or Alpi Remez, or Alpi Drush, but even Alpi Sod. And the truth is that when the Mefarshim explain, that when you go to, let's say, like that parsha about Esav's kings, and it gives you all this lineage of Esav and different generations of kings and who their mothers-in-law were and like where they came from. It's all these details. Mefarshim say that Alpi Kabbalah, those are very, very jam-packed parshas. So when you read just the simple translation, it doesn't mean that much to us. But if we understood the deeper meanings, it would be loaded with so much meaning, so much content. Because many, many parts of the Torah require you to go deeper and deeper and deeper. The Ramban says that really the entire Torah is one long Shem Hashem. It's composed of all these different Shemos of Hashem. And that's why, you know, if you miss one letter in the Torah, if one letter is missing, the whole Torah is puzzle. It could be the most insignificant letter in our minds. But if it's missing, the whole Torah is puzzle. You can't learn from it, you can't use it, you're supposed to bury it. That's what happens if one letter is missing. So, and the truth is also, there's no difference in the Kedusha of any part of the Torah. The famous example given is that, I think it was Menashe HaMelech, if I'm remembering correctly. He didn't like, he was trying to poke fun of the Torah. And he said, Achas Lotan Timna. Why do I care that there was this person named Lotan and his sister named Timna? This is talking about the kings of the nation of Seir who married into Esau's family. Like, it's such an irrelevant detail. And Torah spends time telling us who Lotan's sister was. Her name was Timna. Why do I care? And the truth is, the Gemara tells us that there's no difference in the Kedusha of the words Shema Yisrael, Shema Kinnah, Shema Chod to the words Achos Lotan Timna. They're just as holy, just as significant. And if the Aleph Vachos Lotan Timna is missing, it's puzzle. The same way if the Shin of Shema is missing, it's puzzle. So on a simple level, to us, Shema is much more important. And obviously, in terms of our simple understanding, Shema is more important. But in terms of the depth and Kedusha of Torah, every single letter, every single dot is significant, and you can't miss anything, or else the Torah is incomplete, and it's puzzle. So you can take this concept, that every single Jew has a letter in the Torah. It means that Jews are the same way. So some Jews look at me and say, I can see his or her importance. She's so special, she's so kind, she's so loving, she has a great family, she davens so much kavana, etc. You know, we can do that. But sometimes you look at a Jew and you say, I don't see the significance of this Jew, unfortunately. You know, you look at somebody, you know, they're not so nice to me, and they're not so loving, and not so caring, and, you know, they don't really care, you know, they don't really treat me nicely. And you try to figure out, like, how can I develop a love for that person? Where's the chashivas? Where's the significance of this Jew? But every Jewish neshama has significance. What?
It's
Tzelem Elokim. There's something deep down which is there, which is Chashiv. Hashem doesn't create Jews who have no purpose. Every Jew has a purpose. Every Jew has a meaning. Just like every letter in the Torah has its meaning, and without that, the entire Torah is puzzle. So too, every single Jew has his or her meaning, and without that Jew, Klal Yisrael is puzzle, as it were. Hashem needs every single one of us. So some of us, we can see very apparently on the surface that person is very significant and very special, and they're easy to love, easy to care for, and easy to reach out to. But sometimes we look at the people and say, I can't love that person. I can't reach out to them. I can't connect because I don't see anything of value. I don't see anything that I can relate to. The person's nasty and rotten and mean, and I don't understand like what Hashem wants out of that person. That happens sometimes. And obviously there's levels in between. Not everyone's rotten or mean. But sometimes we have people we just can't quite connect with. And the answer is very similar. The answer is, well, just like in the Torah, when I don't understand something, I'll say, you know what, deep down this person has a lot of depth, a lot of meaning, there's Tzelem Elokim here, Hashem has his reason why he put this person in the world. It's just like the Torah, just like that letter of the Torah, I don't understand why it's there, I don't understand why that pasuk Achos Lotan Timna is there. But I know deep down Hashem has his reason for putting that pasuk there. That's puzzle. So I developed the love for every Jew through this concept. Avas Yisrael really means that every single Jew has something of value to share with the world. Every single Jew is significant. Every single Jew has meaning. Every single Jew has a depth, which is there. If I could train myself to see that, so then I could develop midos and develop Avas Yisrael. That's where I would come from. So Rav Shimbar Yochai taught us a very powerful lesson in midos. when he taught us that every single dot, every single letter of the Torah has tremendous meanings, infinite meanings, beyond anything we can imagine. It works up, you know, up his soul. You know, in the spiritual worlds, every single part of the Torah has incredible impact. So too, he taught us that every single Jew has that same impact. And even those Jews that we can't quite figure out, why are they so significant? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's teaching will tell us that every Jew is significant, just like every letter of the Torah is significant. That's what he's teaching us. So that very much fits into the concept of this period of the year. When we're trying to develop midos, and trying to figure out, how am I going to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah? Only through Achdus, Avas Yisrael. So we have a Yantif in the middle of Sfirsa Omer, called Lag BaOmer. And that Yantif is there to teach us that just like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai taught us Kabbalah, he taught us that every single letter and dot in the Torah has infinite meaning, infinite Kedusha, incredible, incredible power. So too, every single Jewish neshama is the same way. Whether we get it or we don't get it, we have to know deep down it's there. Now most of us don't understand Kabbalah, but we know that there's depth here which goes far beyond me. So we don't understand this other Jew. So we say, okay, but I know there's depth here which is far beyond me as well. So the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai really serves in a way as the antidote to the death of the 24,000 students. These students died because they didn't respect one another. So you could say they didn't see each other's significance. They couldn't see the chashivas in every single fellow student. So they all died. Rav Shimon then is Rabbi Kiva's next student. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he tells us that, no, I'm going to show you that every single Jew has a significance. There's something to love there. There's something to respect there. And through that, we can rebuild the world. And that was really Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's role in terms of this theme of Midos, the time of year. The word Lag BaOmer, so Lag is 33, but the letters are also the letters Gal. Gal is to reveal. And it refers to a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Gal einai, bebita niflos b'torasecha." Reveal my eyes, and I will see the wonders of your Torah. So Lag BaOmer is a time where we see that the Torah contains wonders. The Torah contains depth. The Torah contains incredible things. And then it shows us that every Jew contains wonders. That every Jew contains depth and incredible things. It allows us to see the niflos of Torah and see the beauty and the depth of the neshama of every single Jew. That's the idea of Lag BaOmer. I'm going to share one other beautiful idea. We mentioned that every single month has its letter associated with. So we discussed Anisama's letter, Hey, we discussed last month. The letter of Iyar is Vav. And again, these concepts are very deep Kabbalistic concepts. This is from the Sefer Yetzirah. But I think there's an idea on a very simple level. The letter of Vav, which is the letter of Iyar, in Lashon HaKodesh, the letter of Vav we use for the Vav HaChibur. The Vav is connection, right? It's the and. It connects two words. When you talk about Benam Chaveiro, of Achdus, of Avas Yisrael, the idea is to connect. And Iyar is a month of connecting. So it's very appropriate that the letter of Iyar is the letter of Vav, because Vav connects, and Iyar is supposed to connect us to our fellow Jew. It's actually a very, very, I find this to be a very powerful idea, a very deep idea, which I saw in the Sefer, I think it was Be'er Moshe, Chassidish Sefer. But it shows you that the wonders you find in Lashon HaKodesh, and it shows you the power of the letter of Vav. The letter of Vav, so Vav is the Vav of Chibur, the Vav connects, and it connects. If every single letter in the Aleph Beis, you could spell out in full, meaning Aleph is Aleph, Lamed, Fe, Beis is Beis, Yud, Saf, and Gimel is Gimel, Yud, Mem, Lamed. So every letter you could spell out in its full form. So when you spell the letter of Vav, there's actually three ways to spell out Vav. Vav can be spelled out Vav, Vav, it can be spelled out Vav, Aleph, Vav, or it can be spelled out Vav, Yud, Vav. Three ways it's actually spelled out in different svarim, different sources. So what does that mean for us? A Jew has three different places to connect to. There's something called Avas HaTorah, there's Avas Yisrael, there's Avas Hashem. We're supposed to connect to God, to Torah, and to our fellow human being. Three different ways to connect. Three different connections to make. Three different loves. The example of this is the Kruvim. You know, the Kruvim stood on top of the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. And the Pasuk describes the Kruvim as kind of directing themselves three different ways. The Kruvim, it says, are personei k'nefayim l'mala. They stretch their wings upwards. So that symbolizes Avas Hashem. It says the Kruvim were p'neim ishel achiv. They look towards each other. That's Avas Yisrael. The Kruvim were both human faces. It was a baby, boy and baby girl face. That's what the Kruvim were. And when they looked at each other, that was Avas Yisrael. Looking and caring and developing the connection to our fellow human being. And then it says, El Pnei HaKaporis, they should tilt their heads down to the Kaporis, down to the Aron, which contains the Torah, Avas HaTorah. So the Kruvim had wings stretching upwards towards Hashem. They looked at each other, towards their fellow human being, and they looked down to the Aron, which is the Torah. So they represent Avas Hashem, Avas Yisrael, and Avas HaTorah. Now this is the point about the Vav. And this, to me, is an amazing thing. So I said there are three ways to spell the Vav. Vav Yud Vav, Vav Aleph Vav, and Vav Vav. These represent the three different chiburim, three different ways to connect, three different places that you're supposed to connect. Why? Vav Yud Vav is Gematria 22. There's 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. And that represents Avas HaTorah, that the Torah is given to us with the Aleph Beis. There's 22 letters. So Vav is supposed to be a connecting letter. So we connect to the Torah. Vav could be spelled Vav Aleph Vav. That's Gematria of 13. What's 13? So 13 is always, Gematria of Echad is 13. Aleph Ches Dalet is 13. 13 is a concept of 1. Aleph Ches Dalet, 1 is the Gematria of 13. And therefore it's to Hashem. They're supposed to have that Vav connect us to the one and only Hashem. One is Hashem, Hashem Echad. That's Vav. And then Vav Vav, spelled that way, Vav Vav is Gematria 12. And that represents the Shvatim. It's Avas Yisrael. And that's what's connected us to Avas Yisrael, to our fellow Jew. So the Vav is the letter of Chibor, it's the letter of connection, of love, of connecting to each other. A Vav is the letter of Iyar, which is the month of connecting to our fellow human being. It's the month of connecting to Hashem and through the Torah. We're getting ready for Kabbalah's Torah. And that's really the message of Iyar, is to take Iyar and develop those connections. This is the month where we're supposed to be refining our character, refining our midos, so that we can make connections. So first and foremost, we connect to our fellow Jew. That allows us to develop as human beings, become a mensch, as we said, and get ready for Kabbalah Torah. As Shavuos approaches, so then our job is to try to get ready for the connection to Hashem. We have to have Avas Hashem and Avas Torah. That's the other different elements of the Vav. But the Vav has that power in it to connect. That's Iyar. Iyar has the power to connect. So if we use this month properly, and we use it for someone properly, we're going to be working on it day by day, stage by stage, level by level, and focusing on how can I refine my character and my midos in order to get where I need to go. That's always going to be the question. What it means in terms of the period of the year is that Hashem always offers special help during the right times of year, as we've said it many times before. So this time of year, if we don't know what is Hashem, you know, showering down upon the world, where is Hashem pushing us and encouraging us to go? It's this focus, this midos. And if we attempt during Iyar to develop better midos and to develop our relationships, Hashem will push us, Hashem will encourage us, and Hashem will give us special Ziyat Hashmaya to actually get there. And if we can approach Shavuos and we can say to Hashem, Hashem, you know, I've worked for the past 6 weeks on X, you know, now I had a relationship which wasn't going well and I improved it. I had a friend I was angry with and I made up with her. You know, I used to lash out at a certain person, now I speak nicely to them. I've done more chesed. I've been more sensitive to other people as I speak. If we can take one of those ideas and have that in our back pocket when Shavuos arrives, so then Hashem will say, I see that you've achieved the concept of Derech Eretz Kam LaTorah. You've been working on your own personal character, you're acting like a mensch, you're being a human being. Avas Yisrael is much more powerful, the Achdus of Klal Yisrael is coming more together. I see Shalom. So now I can give you the Torah, and the Shechinah can rest upon you. And that's going to be our goal during this period. So that really brings everything together. We have the concept of day-by-day midos. We have the concept of Rekiva students dying as the lesson that if you don't respect each other, this is what happens. You can't have the Torah if you're not showing respect to your fellow Jew. And then you have Rashim Bar Yochai, who's the lesson of how to love our fellow Jew. When we don't see something of significance to love, we have to know that deep down, every Jew has something very special to offer. Hashem creates every Jew with a purpose. The neshama of every Jew is there. The neshama is something which is powerful. It's infinite. And just like the Torah is infinite, every single letter in the Torah itself has layers and layers of depth, so too every single Jew has layers of depth to love and to care for. Thanks.